You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Captain Dean, and this episode is being recorded on location at the wonderful Mellow Matt's Music and More, where it smells like patchouli, and I'm suffocating, and there's a wall of DVDs in front of me, and I don't know why there are DVDs here when there should be more records and more CDs, because music is cool. And anyway, we are at Mellow Matt's Music and More, where the staff is cool and the stuff is cooler, unless you buy that episode of whatever that TV show is. The OC.
Never heard of it.
Me neither. But my guest is the one and only Leo the Rapper.
Leo the Rapper.
How are you
nice
doing?
Nice to meet you, Dean.
Nice to meet you.
Captain Dean.
We did a show together. And before I started rolling, I was like, we did a show together like 2 months ago. And it was at Tidballs. And... It was with Memory, Mundane Nation, and El Astronauta, and then there was a band from Evansville that was on the bill originally, and apparently they backed out or something, and
canceled.
They called you, and
yeah,
you
Brandon,
came in and did
Brandon
it.
From Memory called me.
Yeah, and me and my wife and our friends, and we were all like hanging out, and you set up and started going, and we were all like, man, this is really cool.
I appreciate that.
Because it made the show super diverse.
Man, that was so like, weird. It showed up with some jazz hip-hop right after some heavy metal.
It was good. I was just blown away about it. Because I've heard of you. We had talked at some point, but I hadn't seen you live or anything. So it was cool to be in the room. And to me, hip-hop is much better live, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you feel the bass. Like, there's something about the way that stuff is done where the sound is such a big part. And so when you're in a room and it's at really high decibel and the bass, you know, is rumbling and stuff, it just makes it 10 times better.
Yeah, I feel like, too, like, in the live setting on hip-hop sense, that's where you get to see what the artist is really about.
Yeah.
Showing up because, like... if they're using auto-tune in the studio, you're going to know when they're on stage. Like, it's just, I don't know, I love artists that give a great live performance and that really, you know, go up there and rap, give it their all, no backing tracks or very minimal, you know, just to really showcase their voice. They're not hiding behind anything.
Right. I mean, the studio and the stage are two different worlds. You can record the song and then perform the song, but you kind of have to... you can do all the tricks in the book in the studio and make it an amazing song to listen to. But live,
if you
don't have a 60-piece, you know, band backing you to do every single detail of a record, you know, you got to strip it down, do a cut and dry. So there are two variations between live and studio recording.
Right, you get that like one.
And it was cool to witness that because I'd seen a few things of you on like television, and I think you shared a video. Like I'd caught pieces of your work, but to see you live and do a full performance, that was really great, and I was very impressed. So,
I didn't talk
to you that night, so I'm sorry.
It's okay. We just passed by. Didn't
that's
even
what
know
artists
it.
Do, right? When they play shows, they just walk past each other. And then they go, oh, he's in the other band.
I guess we better stay. No, I'm just like.
But you've been really busy.
Yeah.
And it seems like you've been on a pretty solid, you know, tear for a while. Because I've seen your name in headlines and shared on different things that you've been doing for, what, about a year? Or at least the good portion
of
this year.
Yeah, for sure. Man, I really appreciate that, too, that you noticed that. Because
it's all
done independently. Yeah,
I'm in the scene.
Yeah, it's all done, like, independently. Like,
yeah.
Trying to push it without any majors or anything. Mm-hmm. So just keep grinding out this next year. It should be awesome.
It's working.
Thanks.
Now, I'm seeing it. I don't know if everybody else has seen it. But, Leo, this all starts with the grand question of where are you from?
Where am I from? Okay, so I was born in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay.
And was raised in Scottsville, Kentucky.
Mm.
Very rural, small town.
Oh, yeah. I am well aware of the Scottsville.
Scotts Vegas, yeah.
I live really close to Scottsville, and I don't go there very much.
There's nothing there. There's no reason to go there.
There's a Food Lion.
And a Dollar
General Marketplace, I think that's is it. What it's called. There's a Pizza Hut.
Catch a high school football game, though.
Yeah.
That's all the town's
well,
got.
Well, no,
you know,
I wouldn't even want to do that.
Not anymore.
That's dangerous. I honestly feel like Scottsville is... You know what? I'm not even going to talk bad about Scottsville.
We ain't going to say anything about it. We're just going to leave it.
What's up, Scottsville? Shout out.
Love you guys. Shout out to the hometown.
Some of my experiences in Scottsville have been good, and some of them have not been so good. So I just avoid the city of Scottsville. There's a good restaurant there that I've eaten at, and the name is skipping my brain now. Dumplings.
Yeah, Earl G. Dumplings.
G. Dumplings?
Shout
is that
out, Earl.
From? Yes.
We know.
That's a good restaurant.
Sam's. You should go check out Sam's.
I've never been there.
Should check that
and there's
out.
A catfish house or something I've never been to.
Harper's Catfish.
Yes.
Man, that's like world famous right there.
We drove down there one day. It was a dirt road. It looked like the boar's nest from the Dukes of Hazzard. And I said, well, let's go somewhere else.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
True story. But yeah, I'm not familiar with Scottsville other than all of that rambling shit I just threw out there.
Yeah, there's really nothing there. Like,
but how do you go from Indianapolis to Scottsville? And when did that happen? How old were you?
I would say I was like 3 or 4.
Wow. So you really don't have
I really don't remember too much of it.
There's no growing up stories in Indiana and then heading down there.
No, just like going back to visit every now and then.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Not that it's far.
Yeah.
Big whopping 5-hour drive from here, I think.
Yeah, not too bad. I was, just raised there by my dad. Until I was about 13. This is going to get heavy. But he passed away, and then I got adopted and stayed there until I was like 18 or 19.
So you remained in Scottsville?
Yeah.
Even after all of that? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I got a full ride scholarship to the University of the Cumberlands to play football.
Wow.
And so I went there for a semester and ended up transferring and dropping out because of a girl. Stupid. Don't ever do it. If anybody's listening, don't do it. But ended up back at Western and ended up dropping out and getting into some trouble. That's all like all compressed. That's a compressed 20 years right there.
Okay. But somewhere in those 20 years, music entered your life.
Yeah.
And what's your earliest memory of music and discovering that maybe you had a passion for it? You had not only become a fan of certain things or what were you listening to and what spawned the idea for you to one day want to get into music?
When I was a kid, I would say I was heavily influenced by some Linkin Park and Eminem, especially when Eminem first came out, the Slim Shady LP. Had the one with the pill on there.
Like was that the first one?
Yeah, I was like bumping that when I was like 12.
Okay.
10 and 12. Actually, it was 10
years old. I remember
it,
but I mean, I was not, obviously, I'm not in
right. Yeah, right. Well, so it's so weird. So,
I'm from the earlier days of rap rock.
Okay.
Anthrax, Chili Peppers, Faith No More. Like that was, I was alive and well when that was brand new.
Right.
So,
I mean, listening to Eminem at that early of an age was probably not a good idea. He was talking about some savage stuff. And it was, I'm 10 years old listening to this.
That is true. He was very detailed on his life.
Then, after I got adopted, like I kind of was doing whatever I wanted to being constricted and reconformed, I guess. So musical influences were all over the place. Growing up in Kentucky, you can't really dodge listening to country. So I listened to that. I was listening to that a little when I was younger, just because my parents and uncle, like, that's what they had listened to. So if I was in the car, I was listening to that or whatever. But my personal taste was definitely rap and hip hop.
And you said, how do I combine Toby Keith with Eminem?
And voila. No, not at all. Not at all. No,
that was a big aha moment.
Yeah, I'm not really a country fan. I mean,
no,
nothing against
that.
Country artists.
I get it, because it is on the radio. Like, you go in a store, you go in a restaurant, it's on the radio. Like, you just hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a part of the roots of where we live, so it's hard to get away from it. But
I wouldn't say it's not good music, but it's just not my taste.
Exactly.
Because they're awesome artists.
There's some great music
definitely
out there.
Definitely respect them.
I spent many years playing in country bands as a drummer and stuff, and I had to listen to it. I had to learn these songs to play in these cover bands, and it's like, I don't like this song or this artist, but I had to learn it for the sake of performing it. So it's just, I think to me, as a musician, country is, it's one thing if you're performing it. It's another thing if you're listening to it. It's like baseball's boring on TV, but it's awesome to go to a real game or playing it.
For sure.
That's how I look at it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Perfect sense. Perfect sense. So country is, country is the baseball of music and sports.
I dig
to sports. I don't know. You get what I'm
depending
saying.
depending on the artist, depending on the era, that's how, you know.
Okay.
It's like anything.
Very true.
I love heavy metal, but there's heavy metal bands I don't like, so.
I would say, hip-hop, so it was shoved into my subconscious very early.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always be writing poetry. And when I got 19, 18 years old, and the Carter 3 was dropping, and, like, Lil Wayne was just shaking up the whole era. Everybody wanted to be rappers. After, like, the 8 Mile movie.
What year was this?
Man.
You're obviously younger than me, so. I'm trying to pinpoint.
I would say 2007 to 2009.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, that was like a whole shift of culture right there.
I must have been in a cave somewhere. I didn't realize.
For me, anyways.
Yeah, I know. And again, it's like, I'm the Beastie Boy Run DMC era, you know?
Okay.
So I don't understand the modern rap thing, but this is kind of why I was interested in doing this interview with you, because you have a grip on the modern thing that I'm completely out of touch with. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But again, I saw you recently perform, and if your influences are in you, I might have picked up on that because I'm not familiar with some of the artists you have mentioned or talked about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That was earlier. Like, I would say, I mean, going now, my music taste is very wide.
Well, talk about who.
I love Alice in Chains.
Okay.
I love Florence and the Machine.
That's good.
I listen to a lot of lo-fi jazz.
That's cool.
Hip-hop, like with no words or lyrics, just because I don't like to be influenced too much
right.
by that.
I would think as a poet and a hip-hop style artist that instrumental music would be...
That's my go-to.
...a really important thing to have because you can pick up on things musically to inspire you to write or format the way the words are worded or spoken or however you would want
to
put that, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for
Is
sure.
Is that good? Okay. So, as a drummer, I can somewhat relate to a lot of these ones. I got rhythm.
Okay. That's pretty, I said Alice in Chains, Florence and the Machine, a lot of lo-fi jazz, Lana Del Rey right now. I like listening to her.
It's good.
She's pretty awesome.
Yep.
I don't know. I had to pull up a playlist right now.
Well, and you know, that's the thing. It's like you got started on a path and then the floodgates opened at some point and you discovered lots of music.
Lots of music.
Did a lot of, like, any friends recommend things or did you just kind of discover it on your own?
I'd say, yeah, I'd got some good recommendations from people
and mm-hmm.
turn me on to a lot of new artists.
Good.
Mick Jenkins, have you ever heard of him?
I think so.
He's pretty good.
I'm terrible with names.
Me too.
I have to see pictures.
When someone tells me their name, I'm just like, 5 minutes later, it's gone. It's like, through one ear out the other.
Well, it's because there's so many. There's so many.
Let's see.
Yes, pull up your playlist.
So Mac Miller definitely is one of my favorites.
Okay.
R.I.P. Kendrick Lamar is definitely one of my favorites right now. Definitely Travis Scott. There's a lot of... I like conscious stuff. People like things that make me think.
True.
I think I'm out of the partying stages of my life.
That's good.
Yeah.
The sooner the better.
For sure. I agree with that.
I like to tell people I'm the most boring person to hang out with because I do nothing.
I mean, parties are fun, but...
I like being the band at the party and then leaving.
Yeah.
That's what I like about parties now.
Peace and quiet is good.
Which I haven't really partied, like, you know, since I was 20-something. But I'm older than you. A lot older.
Are we supposed to ask on air?
No.
Okay.
I'm almost 43. That's like a month from as we're taping this.
I'm about to be 29 this year.
Oh, my God. Do you want to switch places?
I don't know.
You'll love it. I have a lot of redos I need to achieve.
I might get there.
So when you discovered music, were you just listening to it as a fan? Did it immediately come into your mind and go, I could do this?
No, I would say definitely a fan at first. Okay.
So how long did it, like, how long did it take, or what did it for you? Like, what sparked this for you?
It was really shitty music.
Shitty music?
Like, they played...
It's everywhere.
Yeah, they played music on the radio, and I was like, these guys are getting paid to make this?
Yeah.
I was like, what the...
It's amazing, isn't it?
I can do better than this. Because I was already writing poetry, and that's when I, like, kind of started figuring everything out and turned it into hip-hop. I mean, that's what it is. Poetry in motion. It's
that
a pretty easy
like a
transition. I think it is. Wait, that's... I know who that is. Oh, don't kill me.
I know. I love doing that.
Talib Kweli? No?
Maybe.
I think so. I don't know. Mos Def. Is it Mos Def?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I just know it's a title for something because I've seen it on stuff. But it's cool. It's a good word. I've met several people that are poetry-driven singers. They're good at writing poetry. They're good at going to poetry readings and getting out of their like comfort zone to get up in front of crowds. Like, of course, I've mentioned this with many people, that Jim Morrison's the ultimate go-to to understand the realm of what writing poetry and turning it into a song can happen or can do, because you're a poet. You don't play an instrument, but you're great with writing and storytelling, and just wordplay is the best way I can describe it. You're good at wording things, and you write these wonderful poems or short stories, and then somebody that can play guitar or understand rhythm looks at it and go, hey, this is really good. You know, you could put that to music. And of course, that's how The Doors were born. So everybody knows that. They made a movie about it.
Yeah, the movie was awesome.
The music was awesome. The actual fact of how he owned every single word that came out of his mouth had deep meaning to him that a lot of us could either relate to or just found it to be a great, catchy song or a lyric, you know, in a chorus or whatever. So clearly that's a big one. But then you go from there and through the ages, especially when rap and hip-hop started and exploded in the 70s and 80s, which you know nothing about.
Nothing about.
But I was alive and I got to witness it. It was really interesting to see how they did that, you know?
Yeah.
And it was very thoughtfully done. And a great example is Public Enemy. When I first heard Public Enemy, that shit made me think. Like, it was like, you watch the news.
They're calling out a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Making change with their words.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
That's what
it was.
Oh, definitely.
It was great.
Man, if people only knew the power that they had, like with their words and their platform, like they could change the world. There's a lot of people just wasting
their
words.
You know, Chuck D is looked upon as a mastermind of just forging music of not just hip hop origins and taking records and backing tracks from like Funkadelic, but he's also taken stuff from like metal, rock, and you know, working with different producers and stuff to make this music to go with these powerful things he was saying.
Yeah.
Ta-da! But that's how I look at it, because I grew up in that era. You're coming out of, after all that's been done, you're growing up and witnessing all these things. So, again, going back to the thing that sparked it for you, when did you wake up one day and realize, I'm going to do that?
Yeah, that was, I was 19,
okay.
20 years old, around there.
That wasn't that long ago.
It's like, yeah, about 10 solid years.
It's 10 years ago.
So, yeah, I'd say I'd been writing and...
But when you say shitty
music
on the radio, inspired you to want to do music because you thought, I can do that, I can do it better than that.
Yeah.
Can you mention what...
The song?
Yeah, what were you hearing
Speakers
that was hitting?
Speakers going hammer. Bammer, bammer, bammer.
Nice.
I mean, yeah. I was like, what the hell? Yeah. So I was like, man, I can like put some substance in here and try to do good.
Right.
I mean, there's... Yeah, I mean, it's good to put your experiences in motion like that.
Right. And so you said you had a pretty rough time.
Yeah.
Obviously, growing up. Did a lot of that play into therapy for you to write down?
Definitely was very therapeutic.
Okay.
Yeah. Because a lot of time, man, I was like trying to deal with depression and the thoughts of like why people were dying around me and like what is life? Mm-hmm. And so.
And at a young age, that's difficult.
So, like, I mean, I had some suicidal tendencies when I was younger. So instead of doing that, I would pick up the pen.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of saved me in a lot of places.
Yep. And that's a common story to hear from various people, depending on what it is they do, whether it's music or art. But it seems like music and art can save anybody.
Right.
If you just have it in you to trust in yourself to do something.
It's powerful words right there.
It's
trust
true.
In yourself.
It's true.
Believe in yourself.
Absolutely.
That's, yeah, believe in yourself. That's what it all comes down to.
Mm-hmm. So you did that in about 10 years. What was your first step into discovering getting into this world, and what did you do to get into it?
Well, I mean, I just started rapping, and then I got some, like, shitty home recording stuff and started practicing with that, trying to record.
Did you meet, like, musicians or
no,
get
I didn't,
up with
I
anybody?
Didn't say any, that, I didn't say anything to
okay.
anybody or
It was
anything.
Very personal.
Yeah, because I didn't, like, because I already knew, like, you tell, I'm from Scottsville.
Right.
You tell somebody you want to be a rapper out of there, go get a real job.
Yep.
Like, crush all your dreams immediately.
Well, it happens here,
so,
too.
Yeah.
Know.
Well, anywhere. So it's
That's
like, I kind of like.
A common thing worldwide, really.
Right. So I didn't want anybody to crush my dreams. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to let them build up inside of me and figure it all out before I push it out into the world.
Okay.
Build that foundation in myself and belief before I give anybody a chance to break it down.
Okay. So how long did you tinker around and stuff?
I would say probably about a year and a half or 2 years.
Not bad.
Before
didn't
I,
seem to take very long for you to, I guess, get established and comfortable.
Well, no, I went to prison.
Oh,
yeah.
Are we
so
gonna,
like?
Are we,
we
gonna talk about
that? Yeah. So,
and I'm not laughing at that. I'm
I mean,
just like,
it is what it is.
That caught me by surprise. A little.
Yeah, it does everybody, but. Not like
all right,
when I went
do?
There, I went for a robbery.
Okay, I was going to say, I hope it's something dumb like ripping the tag off the couch cushion. And then they
dumb.
Bust down the door and go, it says not to do that.
Snatch a deposit bag. Exactly. Yeah. On a robbery.
No shit.
Yeah. Got 10 years. I'm not supposed to be out until next year. But
so you're not here.
Like, I really do count this as a miracle, and that's why I've been working
that's
hard
good.
Every day.
Yeah.
I had like... they kind of stiffed me and didn't represent
Wait,
me right.
Wait, by talking about this shit with me, are you dragging me into something?
No.
I don't have time for that shit.
Not at all. No,
this
they
has already happened?
Oh, yeah, I was wrongly charged.
It's not going to happen. Okay.
No, I was
really, really?
Yeah, I was really wrongly charged.
Well, and, obviously we're not going to get into the details on that.
Okay.
We don't need that coming back to you in a
yeah, for sure.
court case or whatever, but...
No, that's over. They can't give
bricks.
Me shit.
Brick walls are awesome. Look at that one.
Nah, it is. It's over.
Okay.
But
obviously, that's terrible, and... Again, it seems to me that you have taken a very negative thing and turned it into a positive.
Yeah, that's when I went
that's
to...
What I'm picking up from
when I went in there, that's
you,
when right? I took it seriously.
Yeah.
I had my first rap performance, and it was in front of 150 inmates, and they gave me a standing ovation.
That's
and that's when I knew that
it
was real. I was nervous as hell going
well, of
up
course.
There. But that's when I was like, all right, this is it. And so for the next 3 years in prison, that's what I did. I have all my goals written down, everything I want to do. I wrote a book, which is going to be coming out, and I literally made my blueprint in there for those 3 years, got out, and hit the ground full force running.
Have you been able to help other people and meet other people through something like this?
For sure.
To help them steer them on the right path of being like, don't live in the past, move forward.
Yeah, for sure. And I would like to continue to do that. And like anybody that has any type of programs like that, I would love to help in any way.
That's awesome.
If you're listening. Yeah.
I don't really know what to ask from that because, I mean,
well, I can keep explaining more like, okay, so those 3 years, like all I did was rap.
You seem like such
a
nice
write
guy.
And play basketball. Yeah, well, I mean, when I did it, I mean, I just wanted to need the money. So I just like snatched it. Like, it's,
you know,
don't do that. I learned to earn it.
I can relate to this in a way somewhat.
My thinking was, all right, I need a quick come up and a fresh start. So I'm just going to grab this money from a corporation. They got multi-billions
exactly.
of dollars. It doesn't hurt them any.
Dude, that shit happens every day.
But that was on my vigilante Robin Hood shit.
Hmm.
Definitely learned and grew since then.
So the poor didn't get the money.
Nah.
But they almost did. I like the Robin Hood comparison. Could it be more like Men in Tights, though?
No.
We almost got the money to the poor.
Nah.
Well, that, you know, and again, it's like, that's bad, and there's some sad things there for you, but it honestly looks like, from where I'm sitting, you've done an incredible job of turning your life around.
Thanks.
And it seems like every time something comes at you, you have that, you hit that choice path, you have that path. And it's like you start to take the wrong path, and then you like, oh, it's like Candyland. I was on the wrong path. I was just
like
going to jump back over to the other side. I meant to be over here.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, just from meeting you and knowing you briefly, you know, already, it seems like that's the kind of person you are. So.
Definitely.
Before you turn 30, you've learned a lot of lessons.
Yeah.
So the rest of your life is going to be awesome.
Karma's real, man.
Fuck yeah, it's real.
It is real. So operate by that. Do
Karma's
good.
A
do
bitch.
Good by people, and you'll be straight.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting. I've never heard that. I mean, I've heard it from big celebrities that are interviewed on television and stuff, and behind the music. But I've never met somebody personally that had that story to tell. So I'm good for you.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
That's good. I mean, I'd rather be having this conversation than hearing about you.
Yeah, I'd say.
Oh, he had potential, but now he's locked up for 20 years.
Man, I learned more in prison than I did in college.
Well, of course you did.
Because
prisons offer college.
Shitty ones. Okay?
Shitty,
I know how the justice
time.
System works now.
Yeah,
I could talk all day about that.
I know.
But no, it was definitely an eye opener in all sorts of ways.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's powerful, and again, you turned it into a positive thing. To do that performance and to get up in front of that group and do that, did it just immediately click with you?
Yeah.
I have to do this.
I was like, man, this is really it.
So when you got out, what did you do?
I was sleeping on the floor for a little bit and immediately started purchasing recording equipment
because mm-hmm.
I was on house arrest for 6 months. No. Couldn't really go anywhere. So I got recording equipment and just recorded myself and learned the engineering side of things from YouTube for about 6 months until I could move. And then
that's the cool thing about your generation.
YouTube.
We didn't
free
have
education.
That shit.
It
we
really
had to,
is.
We had to actually read the damn instruction manual.
YouTube University, baby.
University. I love the
I
fact
mean,
that
information
you can go
is
to
information
YouTube for anything.
You know, like
absolutely
not information. If you, whether you get it in college or you get the college book from college,
yeah, yep.
It's the same information.
Yep. And you have to be smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. But everybody is capable of that. They
yeah,
just got to
well,
do it.
You know, maybe not everyone.
if they believe in themselves, we got to go back to that.
I have faith.
Have faith.
One day I'll get there.
Oh, man.
But that must have been an interesting experience to come out of there, to go into the freedom again, but then to have this new goal that you didn't necessarily have when that happened.
Yeah, I kind of did,
like
but I went
starting,
about it the wrong way.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you learn in all of that time of learning the recording? Not only the recording process, but the songwriting process behind it. did you learn how to do like your own beats? Did you like musically
start
together?
Well, when I was in prison,
I
got a keyboard.
Okay.
Like we were allowed to have a couple of things. I bought a keyboard.
Did you get anything of musical instrument wise?
Dude, I was getting paid $40 a month for state pay, and I saved up for 5 months, lost about 20 pounds because the food was shitty there, and I got that keyboard. I still have it. Like, that's just like an accomplishment for me. Like, I've sacrificed food and weight to like get keyboard and learn
that
music.
That's a trophy for you.
For sure.
Like, you should own that and cherish it for the rest of your life.
So just like in there, I had that, and I was just going through scales and chord progressions like on my piano every day.
So you did learn music.
Yeah, I learned music theory, taught myself.
Because I've met a lot of people that say they're rappers or hip-hop artists, and they don't know how to play guitar. They just rely on their buddy to bring them stuff, and they're like, oh, I can put something to that. Like, the ones that are really good at freestyle stuff, you know?
So now I know my stuff. I know, like, you know, the music theory behind things. Mm-hmm. It would take me a day or two to figure something out to really play it. I can't, like, just play off the rips like that. But I have, like you said, friends that are awesome. But now I know what I want with my music, and I can help it get to exactly where I want it.
Right. Do you hear a lot of it in your head
for
prior?
Sure.
Yeah. That's how I write.
And I have a couple of producers. One is named Justin Eckerd. He goes by Black Market, and the other is Coach Cam. Cam's the more sample-based, boom-bap type, and Justin plays all the instruments, so those are like the two different flavors that I'll go to. Justin can play anything.
That's great.
Yeah.
So the inspiration of what they bring to the table helps you?
Oh yeah.
Or do you kind of write stuff and just find places to put it?
So
I know that's a dumb question. I try not to ever ask people what's the writing process, but I know that there has to be variations of you can write a poem and then put music to it, or you can hear music and write something to go with it.
It's a good balance of both.
Right.
I have some beats from these people, and I just write when I'm at home. Or a lot of time I'll show up at the studio and I'm like, all right, Justin, I came up with this awesome melody, and I'll just sing him the chorus, and then he'll just
bring it to
life. He'll play around with some stuff until something fits.
Those are usually how I think the best songs are ever written.
Because, all right, so it'll be like when I'm doing the dishes or something, or just like cleaning house. Like, I won't have any music on or anything, and then I'll just like start singing some melodies.
Yep. That happens to me all the time.
Write them down.
I walk trails with no earbuds, no music, no nothing, and it just, I can't explain it, but that's where
most of the stuff comes in.
When you rest your mind and you have nothing in front of you to focus on other than just simply walking, it's amazing what can happen. I don't have writer's block as long as I get out and clear my mind every now and then. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is cool.
But I'm not.
Hope your writers are listening.
I can't do what you do, though. I don't have that ability for some reason. You guys are really good with words. I look at you as almost like you could be an English professor. Like,
English.
That shit's deep.
Man, maybe with words and twisting them around, but definitely not punctuation. Grammar's not my thing.
I'm all about the, the grammar police.
They're on me. I'm going back to jail.
Stay out of grammar prison there. But that's how I look at the people that are great poet, short story writers, but are also singers. They just seem to have that thing to me where they could really be good at, in a college level professor or teaching things about the English language or just language in general.
That's pretty cool.
And how to look at words like puzzle pieces, and you kind of move them around. And like, there's this
big
thing where there was a really big popular thing for a while, I guess a while back, like 5-10 years ago, where people would buy these things that were magnets for the refrigerator. And it was just a big mess of words, a shitload of words, right? And they're all little squares, right? Do you know what I'm talking about? And they would put them on the refrigerator, and it was just 200 fucking words, and you could make sentences out of it. Like, every word you could pretty much think of was there.
Man, no, I never heard of that.
And that's how I look at songwriting, in a way. It's like you can just start a line and finish it with 15 different things and just move them around, you know?
Yeah, I do a lot of restructurings sometimes. Like, I might write a few bars and then write a few more, but I'll have to fill in like four bars to connect those or right. something. It's definitely a big puzzle piece.
That's cool. So what did you do with the first time you got out and did like your own performance? Like, when did that come about, and what did you have leading up to that? Did you have like an EP, or did you release anything?
I don't think so for my first performance. It was very humbling.
Just go out and yeah. kind of like an open mic
yeah,
kind
just
of thing?
Yeah, like just open mic it. Night at like, I think it was at Rocky's actually.
Okay.
Yeah. There was
shout out to Rocky's.
Yeah, there's a little bit of people there.
Yeah.
Not much.
Well, it's open mic.
Yeah, definitely learning
you
experience.
You perform for the other performers.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I've never met anyone that's like, I can't wait for open mic. I'm just a fan. You never know what you're going to get.
Open mics are my favorite.
But it is the best way to learn.
Good practice.
Yeah.
For sure.
You're on a stage, the lights, the sound system. It's the world, and you get to step into it and be like, I've never done this, so let's see what happens, you know. Or I've never performed this song yeah. live before, and so it is a great way to test
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I remember what happened now. It was Rocky's, and the sound kept cutting in and out during my set.
Hmm. I've heard a lot of different things about their PA system. Yeah. I have not played there. I have not played there yet.
So that was terrible.
I heard there was a rat's nest in one of the speakers.
Oh, man.
And it wouldn't work half the time. Maybe I shouldn't be saying these things, but that's just what I've heard.
Hey, it is what it is. This is facts.
I haven't played there yet. I played there when it was the original Three Brothers, but I have not played it since it became Rocky's.
Yeah, everybody loves Rocky's. That's the go-to dive bar,
I guess,
around here.
Maybe us older people are not welcome there.
Everybody's welcome. If you go there, everybody's welcome there. You'll see.
I'm old. It's too late. You damn kids and your MTV hanging out at Rocky's. So
very diverse crowd.
So what did you do? What did you do for that open mic performance?
Just to clarify, I don't think it was open mic. It was like a performance on a Friday or Saturday night.
Okay.
But the sound system was like cutting in and out. It was terrible. I walked off stage, actually.
Mm.
And
interesting.
Yeah, and then somebody said... they called me Kanye West after that. It was like, because he just does shit like that.
Yeah, well.
I'll take it.
I wouldn't take that.
He's a creative genius. You might not like his political... everybody has their own political opinions, but creatively, to garner attention and get plays off of music, he's did it. Numbers prove it. Yeah.
I guess. I don't really know much about him.
Yeah.
I know he's married to that girl... And they have a kid named North or West or something like that. I don't know. I don't even know. That's how much I know. I know
Anyways,
more about
we're
that
not
dude
give these
from
people
being
any more publicity.
On like E.T.
Look, I love these
National
guys, but
Inquirer.
We can't give them any more publicity. They already get enough.
Yeah, sure.
Kanye don't need me talking about him.
What happened?
What?
Did Kanye walk in the room and he was...
No, that's Davey.
No,
shout out to Davey True.
Yeah. Your
he's,
buddy was
he's
in
He's out.
Here. He said, peace
he said
out.
Yeah, he said he's bouncing real quick.
He said, this is a boring conversation, I believe.
It's like, I'm not trying to hear Kanye.
So you walk off stage and someone says, get your ass back on stage. And you go back on stage and you killed, right? Or did I just make all that up?
You just made all that
okay,
up.
Okay, sorry.
Nah, we just fell back and regrouped.
Okay.
Yeah. Fast forward.
So when was this? How long ago was this?
Dude, this was 3 years ago.
Okay.
3-4 years ago, maybe. I'd say three.
Let's go with three.
But yeah.
Because it's almost 2020.
Yeah.
So
well, now,
close
I don't
to
know.
Four.
I've just been studying a lot of how this shit actually works.
Yeah,
on the business
end of
things.
You were like learning the craft, and you were learning the business. Like,
man.
You really dove into the whole world.
So fast forward 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's like,
do
I'm
it.
Still sitting on an album.
Of course.
But I've figured out how this stuff works, and now I think I'm pretty confident to move forward. Mm-hmm. I'm about to be launching all types of stuff this year.
Yes, you are. And leading up to this interview for the Sound Atlas, you have done other things locally speaking. Tell me a little bit about what you've done leading up to current day. I mean, I know the year 2019 alone, like you've had a busy
videos.
Year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Switch some things around.
So,
drop
you,
some videos.
But you
stuff.
Have not released anything, not like album wise or CD wise, correct?
No,
it's
not
all
album-wise.
Just singles, yep. Online, downloadable stuff. What have you done up to this point, and what have you done to on the promotional side of things?
Okay, so I've released a few singles. One is called Atlas, and it has a music video with it. I shot that in San Francisco.
Cool.
And some of it here in Bowling Green.
That's awesome.
A few other singles.
He's checking his phone.
Yeah. For
he's
sure.
Scrolling and looking to make sure that all the details are crisp and accurate, because I'll make shit up and just tell you things that are not true.
Gotta make sure. All right, so Atlas is one that I just recently released. The Future.
Yes, now that I've heard that one.
Do you like that one?
I do.
I appreciate it.
You
I don't have a video
that
for
that. On was it on television recently, or that was
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I performed that on. The scene on WNKY.
That's right, with Julie.
Yep.
Okay.
No, I performed Atlas.
Oh, you performed Atlas?
Yes.
But The Future I saw recently. Did I? What was the thing you did recently at Nightmare House?
I did The Future at Nightmare House.
See?
Okay, there we go. That's when I did The
Future.
You're
making me
feel
like
I'm crazy. I need a manager.
I'm not going to be your manager. I can't even keep up with myself. But I knew that. I knew what I was talking about, because I was like, I know that title. I remember that song. But again, that's what I'm getting at, is you've put out a few songs.
So, yeah.
You've performed on The Scene with Julie, which is now Marquee Backstage, but on WNKY 40, CBS NBC 40. That's a local show that Julie Milam does. You've
Shout
been
out to
on
Julie.
That.
I love Julie. She's
Julie's
always
awesome.
Looking out for me.
And then recently, you taped a brand new thing. I think you were the second artist on this.
Yeah,
Room. Yeah, The Living Room. It's a performance at the Nightmare House with Jared McKinney's studio.
Yep, and locally yours.
Locally yours, and you go in there and you perform. Through
cram everybody in a living room.
Right. And that's really cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Now, Locally Yours is the other podcast, correct?
Yep.
For Bowling Green.
Yep.
And they feature not just music, but art and
all kinds of different.
Yeah, it's
people.
Kind of
yeah,
a,
it's
like
pretty,
this one focuses mainly on music, locally speaking. But they really have more of an open thing. And I sent somebody a message. I said we should do an episode together. So you get
Matt
the Sound Jorge. Atlas, and. Locally, is it Locally Speaking? Am I getting that right?
Locally Yours.
Locally Yours. All right. Locally Yours and Sound Atlas merge together and form a superpower podcast.
Yeah, Matthew Clark and Jorge. That'd
yes.
be a good. That would be a good episode.
I know. So come on, y'all.
Let's do it. So yeah, I did The Future on that. And
that wasn't that long ago as from when we are taping this. I think that was maybe a week or two ago.
A few weeks ago? Yeah, it's pretty fresh.
It was cool. And Jared McKinney is at the Nightmare House. He's the owner, operator, president, CEO, and a client. And he is so proud of that. And he should be, because he's doing great work over there. And it was really cool to see that performance. It was you, and then the week or the one before you was Wet Eyed Liars.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this stuff is amazing.
I edited those videos.
Did you?
Yeah.
It was really good.
Appreciate it.
It was really, really good.
Those guys did an awesome job.
Why are you on this? This is just a shitty podcast of boring. There's nothing fancy about this.
Oh, man. We got to get everywhere.
I'm kidding.
Show some love.
We're gonna... You guys have got video and better marketing skills.
Nah.
This is the original,
See,
though.
Comparison is the death of everything.
But the Sound Atlas, for the record, is the original OG podcast of local music. And
okay.
I'm just the host.
Okay.
Shout out Russell Brooks. You're the man.
Something.
You're the boss. You're my boss. And you owe me like a year's worth of money at this point.
Damn.
He's not paid me yet.
I owe yous.
He's going to give me, getting racked up. A $5 gift card.
Is there any interest?
Coffee. No, I'll just.
Just the coffee?
The interest is out of love.
Coffee would be good.
Coffee's great.
I also recently dropped Three's Company, which.
Like the actual show with John Ritter?
Well, that's what the song's called.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I have a video for it that I'm about to be dropping. I said once it hit 10,000 plays on Spotify, I would drop it. And I just.
Is Mr. Roper in the video? Because I'm going to be pissed if
no. No, he's not.
Damn it.
I got it right here.
Let's see this.
You want to see it?
Three's Company.
Let's see. I want to get a live reaction right now. This is unreleased material.
Yeah, let me see this. Okay. It is you sitting at a table, and you are rapping.
Gotcha.
It looks like... no, that's cool. I got to hear myself. The table is on fire. This is really good.
Thanks.
This is not good for the listeners, you know. They can't see this shit.
I know. It's going to leave
them
wanting
more. I could
do a
play-by-play, but...
So when it comes out, they'll just want it even more.
Yeah. When will this be coming out? Do you have a
date?
Very
soon.
Okay.
A few weeks, maybe?
So this will be out
after... I want to do it
after,
in a few weeks.
By the time this airs, this will be out.
I don't know.
Yeah. I know, because I know the schedule. This is good. But, like, early mid-October...
Yeah, I like want to make sure everything's right before I drop it.
Well, of course.
For sure.
So this is no hard really date. Good. You did this.
Yeah. Me and my friend Nick Williams helped me.
Okay.
I set most of it on the tripod, though, and did a lot of the framing.
I have not seen Mr. Roper yet.
Asked Nick to help me and shoot certain angles, and I did all the editing.
This is very well done. Was this shot in Bowling Green?
Yeah, right in my living room.
No shit. Your living room looks like fun.
A movie
like,
set.
Yeah, it's like it's got some good lighting, and all your buddies are coming in the door right now. And
shout out to Trap Steve, the whole
man,
the
really
1140
awesome.
Gang.
I'm really impressed.
Yeah, thanks. Hopefully, the world will be too. We're gonna take them by storm. Yeah, people will not think that this is coming out of Bowling
Green.
Well,
it's like it's serious, but it's also got like comical elements to it. You know, like. I'm impressed, dude. This is good.
To all you people listening, just get ready for it.
Oh, you're sitting on the couch smoking weed.
What?
Oh, wait, is that not
those
weed?
Those are props.
Are you vaping?
Those are props.
Props? Fucking prop. My bad. I just saw smoke. You could have been choking on some
those
incense.
Those are special effects. If you've seen the smoke coming from the
prop. I bet your living room needs some incense from Mellow Matt's Music and More.
Maybe. I might grab some for
available
later.
Right behind me from where I'm sitting.
Stop by Mellow Matt's for you.
I can smell it. Oh, dude, you're getting on with your lady.
What? No, that's not in there.
Oh, my God. What's the dog doing?
Everybody's dying. People are on fire.
This is really good. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm gonna stop now because my listeners are gonna be very angry.
Man.
And you just handed me wireless headphones.
Yeah, bro.
You really—that's like future. Are you a time traveler? I don't have any wireless headphones.
No comment.
Exactly. You know shit. You know shit that you could just tell us all the truth.
I made The Simpsons.
Dude, don't even talk. That freaks me out.
Dude, that freaks me out, too.
2 days ago, I got stuck in a rabbit hole watching a
Not YouTube
Simpsons,
rabbit holes. Oh,
a
no.
Simpsons conspiracy theory. They know. They predict the future on everything.
Dude, that's legit. Like, that's too many things
I
to be coincidence.
There is
too
an
many to be
excellent
coincidence.
Video on YouTube that shows how the Simpsons would have an episode and the shot. And the scene and the news and everything about the context of that particular scene and that moment of that episode actually came true. And it's more than once. It was like almost like an hour long video. That's a lot of
it
stuff.
Is. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff.
It'll blow your mind if you allow it to.
No, some people don't do that.
You should get really high and watch that video. Not you, don't the listener.
Not me, but the listener.
Not you. No, don't get high.
That's funny.
High on life.
Yes, that's all you need. Love.
So what is that video called?
It's called Three's Company.
Three's Company with No song. Mr. Roper.
No Mr. Roper.
And that's sad. Did you watch Three's Company, like the actual show?
I think I was too young. I might have seen it when I was younger, like on the TV, but not really.
It's great. It's a great show. You should watch it. Now that you're going to put a song out with that title, you have to watch it.
Okay.
It was a very short-lived sitcom that I religiously watched as a child because it was great. And then I got older and watched it again and was like, good Lord, this is filled with sex and just all kinds of like awesomeness.
Awesomeness.
Like things you just don't pick up on when you're eight, you know?
Yeah, I feel you. I'm trying to think of what sitcoms. I like to watch Friends and The Office.
Friends and The Office?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's pretty good for me.
I've seen a few episodes of Friends. I have not seen The Office. I'm looking at a DVD. Look behind you. There's a DVD of The Office. What is that? Season 2? Yeah. Season 3? Available at Mellow Mass Music and More. They have The Office. I've seen pieces, and like people share shit on Facebook all the time. And I've never watched the show, so I don't know much about it. But I can tell you all about Three's Company. But speaking of Three's Company, that is a song that you're going to release. Video. Yeah, so by the time this episode airs, this video will already be available to view, right?
Maybe.
We're talking about weeks.
I hope so. I don't have a hard date yet.
You're the time traveler, so this is future. Speaking of future stuff. That was really good.
The future. Speaking of the future, that is also a song.
To see something like that prior to it being released, that's really neat. That makes me happy. Because I love seeing that stuff.
I like showing people in person so I can get some genuine reactions before
you'll get better reaction from me when I'm actually trying to like host us. I have to keep talking or they'll turn it off.
Blown away. You guys are going to be blown away.
It was really good. Like, check it out. That's really good.
Thanks.
And then you'll see what I'm talking about when I said you were smoking.
I got a lot of songs and stuff that a lot of content that's going to be rolling out. 2020, by the end of 2020, something major should be happening.
Like major label?
Or major catastrophe event?
That was great. That was fantastic. This is what I'm talking about. You're good with words.
Look,
Can you freestyle rap?
Look, the world's end's coming. All right?
Well, I know that. That asteroid can't fucking hit this planet fast enough, in my opinion.
Oh, man.
We're long past due. Like, we've ruined this place.
Yeah, definitely. It's over.
This place sucks.
That's why all the rich people are just, like, about to launch themselves out of here.
Yeah, I think they all have spaceships or...
They're like, deuces, I'm out.
Yeah. Or bunkers.
Yep.
Well off bunkers.
Jeff Bezos is going to take his $111 billion and just, you know, build a space force.
I like it. Well, I'm an astronaut, so I kind of need to already be involved in that.
Well, you could put in your...
I'm a Spanish astronaut. Going back to that video you just showed me, that's really good. So this would be your considered like third single? Again, you have not released anything.
Yeah, not
like
really.
Like, album-wise. You don't have, like, a six-song EP.
I got, like, five solid songs.
Five songs. And they're all posted?
All singles, yeah.
Okay.
Been trickled out over, I guess,
so where, the past few years. Can people find your stuff? Like, where's the home base that you like to send people?
LeoTheRapper.com.
Oh, you got a .com.
Yeah.
That's special.
Keep it simple.
Fancy.
LeoTheRapper.com, where...
Feels like velvet when you open the home screen. That's fancy. I don't have a .com.
Well, that's what they can find me.
Good. And everything's there.
Yeah.
But obviously, if they search your name, Google your name, they will find you in just about every format, correct?
Yeah.
Are you on Spotify?
Search Leo the Rapper. It'll pop up.
Okay.
Everywhere.
Great.
Except for SoundCloud, because that doesn't pay artists.
Ah.
So I'm conflicted on that. But,
okay.
I mean, I might do that anyways.
I had SoundCloud for a while, but I don't really use it. I had, like, my first three albums on there, and I haven't been on there since.
Right. I think definitely artists need to protect their work and get paid for what they do.
I agree with that. But I also am an idiot and kind of look at it from the form of, it's art, it's free, and, you know,
yeah.
Like, so I think as you get older, you kind of just don't give a shit as much. a point.
Man, I think...
But when you want to make a living at it, you have to fight
protect
for
your art.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, like, it is a business. And unfortunately, like, if you don't like business as an artist, find someone that does.
Yeah, or get in a cover band.
Yeah, to...
make
so
money.
You need to get somebody to protect your stuff, because that's a real thing, you know?
It is a real thing. And that's an excellent point.
Yeah, artist empowerment.
But you're working really hard at building this. Like, you're building something. Maybe you've built it.
Yeah,
and now you're on the verge of doing all this great stuff. And prior to sitting down today and talking, we had talked a few times back and forth in messages, and you told me that you had a tour coming up.
Yeah, I'm about to go on tour for 6 months.
6 months.
But this is with video. I'll be filming for The Illusionist.
Okay.
Live from Broadway. It's the world's largest touring magic show.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're not going on tour as an artist.
Nope. Going on tour for video.
See, I think I misread that.
Well,
I was
this
about
is
to
crazy.
Hype up, man, you're going to fucking blow up going on tour for 6 months.
Well, this is crazy. So now that it took about 4 years, but I've saved up making sure that I got my album right, making sure that I got all the marketing material and all the plans in place, and now I get to go on this tour for video. And everything is paid for.
That's
I'm going to
awesome.
Be in all these major locations for weeks at a time.
And you're going
to
have your shit
yes,
to drop
for
and
free
give to people.
To push out. So it's like I'm going to be in all these locations.
This
is an independent grind right here to the max.
But that's how it starts. And you have to be in the right place.
At the right time.
And I think that's brilliant.
So it feels like after everything I've been through, I've been patient. And now I can finally release an album the right way. And have a good chance at starting something awesome independently.
Right, because where you're going to be and the places you're going to... Or the place you're going to be, the people you're going to be around, what a golden opportunity to have what you actually need to present.
Yeah,
instead
this is pretty
of just
crazy.
Going, hey, I'm an artist, I'm working on some songs. Like, you can physically...
Here you
when
go.
You can
Here's
physically
streaming cards.
Hand something
yeah.
to someone, and almost it's like not only the music, but it's got... The EPK, the portfolio, it's all there.
Send them to the website.
Yes. That's good, man. You're smart.
Thanks, man. I'm smart. It just took
Can
a while
I say
to
that?
Get there.
You're smart motherfucker.
just took a while to get there, being patient.
There's nothing wrong with that, though. Patience pays off.
Big time.
Like
we're
driving
about
down
to see.
Gospel Road. You gotta have patience.
So by summer next year, though, it'll be cool to revisit and see like what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, it could be a major label or major catastrophe.
For sure.
I thought that was great.
Or both at the same time.
They could really have. Yeah, it could happen.
The world's end's coming. Remember those words.
Okay. I see that shit all the time. I'm a firm believer in it. There's some dude that walks around town with one of those picket signs that fire and brimstone and
end
is near. Like,
that's what's up.
It's hard to forget those words when you fucking say it all the time. Oh, man. I don't even know where I'm at.
The first spot is Hawaii.
No way.
Yeah, bro. This is crazy. I've never been... Like, I'm serious. Like, this is crazy. This is all... It hasn't even soaked in with me yet. I don't think it will until I get on the plane, but...
Where at? What? Which island?
Honolulu. For a week. Then,
A week in Hawaii. That sounds terrible. What are you going to do after that?
It's off to New York in like a upper East Coast tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll hit the West Coast and like Texas and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
good old Texas.
Then we'll be headed up into Canada.
Hey.
And we'll be finishing the tour in L.A.
That's not bad.
So I'm...
That's like hardcore...
Yeah.
Yeah,
independent
North America
shot.
Travel.
But
are
here.
You going to perform if you
so,
get an opportunity?
So I have my tour schedule, okay. Yes, and we have dates that I will have to work at night.
Uh-huh.
But I am going to be calling venues in each one of these places.
Right.
And my friend Nick is going to be helping me like try to book some shows
right.
while I'm there in these cities.
Because that would be awesome for you to be able to be like, here's me on stage at a club in Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
Here's me
it's
on
me
stage
in New
at a
York,
club in New
LA.
York and L.A. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Those are trophies.
Man.
I'm all about trophy collecting.
So it's like, this is it.
Not like deer heads and bass fish that are mounted on the wall, but pictures. To show, hey, I was in this cool band, and our band played at this cool venue. Like, those, to me, are trophies.
Yeah, man.
So I always have to beg my friends, please take as many pictures as you can so I can get some good pictures tonight. You have good friends. You have cool people traveling with you.
Yeah, man. I have my friend Tristan is who got me that job for The Illusionist. And as far as the friends that are around me right now, it's pretty awesome because they all... I've been doing this for a while, and people just, like, see the potential in it. And so people help me, and they believe in me, and, like,
right.
I appreciate that
I really,
so much.
Honestly, dude, if I met you and you said, I'm a hip-hop artist, well, I'm like, man, hey, you know how many times I've heard that?
Right.
It's like meeting a country artist. It's like, I'm a singer-songwriter. I'm in Nashville. It's like the same line. But when you see someone live, it takes... It either gets you or you just walk out of there going, that's not for me.
Right.
We watched your entire performance, and we were very impressed.
Yeah, I appreciate
and
that.
And I'm a punk rock and roll guy, you know, like, you know,
Stealing Hearts.
Like I grew up on the old stuff that, to me, it was rap, but now they call it hip hop. But I grew up in the day, like I had Run DMC, Raising Hell on cassette when I was in the third grade. I had, good Lord, you're showing me his itinerary. That's amazing. But like I grew up on what you all like to refer to as old school.
Old school.
But to me, it was like fresh and new, and it was like an amazing time to be alive because when License to Ill came out, and then Raising Hell came out, and then I discovered Public Enemy, and a lot of my friends were into that stuff. I'm trying to get them into Metallica and Van Halen, and they're trying to get me into Public Enemy and, you know, well, I can't even
Beastie
remember.
Boys.
Well, I like the Beastie Boys, but like, I'm trying to think of who other bands were big at that time. There was a lot of crap, you know. Mm. Like, I couldn't get into the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and DJ Jazzy Jeff,
Prince.
Like, all that stuff. Like, I couldn't. I couldn't do that. But because I don't relate to it.
Okay.
Lyrically, what they're right talking right. about, being from Bowling Green, and they're singing about Philly.
Can't relate.
And Baltimore and L.A. and living on the street. I don't know what that's like. So it'd be dumb for me to go around singing these words. Like,
makes sense, yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, that's how I, that's how I felt
yeah,
as a child.
My favorite music definitely connects to me like that.
But then I listen to bands that sing about heroin. And I don't do heroin either. So. But there was something about rock music and the heaviness, I guess, of that was just my upbringing. But I caught wind of a lot of that stuff because a lot of my friends were into it. But it depended on what band and artist and sound it was to whether or not I got into it. But I bought Run DMC. I bought the Beastie Boys. I bought certain things like Public Enemy. Like, I had those albums. And they were great. And then, like, in the 90s when Rage Against the Machine came out, to me that was the perfect blend. Heavy, loud, almost punk rock style music, intense stuff.
Yeah, like Rage Against
the
Machine.
With this guy just bombastic, throwing truth at you and making you think. And you're 20 years old and you're like, oh my God. You know, like, it was a good time.
Man, yeah, I hope I have some tracks that make a culture shift like that.
Good.
For sure.
Well, that's the point of it, isn't it?
For sure.
I mean, it's like you said in the beginning when we started talking, is that stuff is filled with truth, and it makes you think.
Yeah.
So you never know who's going to hear it and wake up and go, that was life-changing stuff, because it happens to us, music that we grew up listening to, that did that to us, so why can't we do that?
Right.
Isn't that the point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Make a difference. Save the
For
fish.
Sure. I think, oh yeah, you asked for a freestyle earlier. Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I figured
not
you would
much.
Because as a poet and as a hip-hop artist, I would think that's something you're good at.
Decent. I'd say decent.
I'm terrible at it. So don't challenge me.
Challenge you to a battle right now.
Okay, you win. The end.
1-0. This is the first, I just wanted to thank everybody that came to watch this rap battle.
So, locally speaking, I have seen you at Ted Balls. You said you've performed at Rocky's. What
A-frame.
Else have you done
performed
around?
Performed at the A-Frame.
Okay.
Performed at Phi Delt, like for a few frat parties.
Oh, okay. Yeah, on campus.
Yeah, those were huge. The house was almost tore down.
Almost or did? Because I know they've almost. Torn a few down recently. Like bulldozed.
Yeah, no. I mean, they might as well.
Like, we need to have sturdier awesome. Floors so that these guys can have bands.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's about it.
That's
here.
About it. Yeah.
There's not too many places around here, really.
Well,
shout out to the ones that do.
There are. I think it's just a matter of pairing. And again, that night that we were on the bill together, and I thought it was brilliant. Like, to me, that's the kind of show I would want to see. I would want to see a punk rock band and a heavy metal band and a hip-hop artist. Because
diversity.
I like the diversity of that. I think it makes for a good show, because if you put three bands on the same bill that are in the same vein, then you just get three loud, heavy rock bands or three country bands.
I remember VH1 did a series like that once. It was called Sound Clash, and they had like three stages. There
really?
Was a rapper on the stage, a rock group, and then like another, you know, whoever
like
was
the,
popping at the time.
That sounds like the Hall of Fame.
It was pretty cool. It lasted for like a month, I think.
Oh, well. Ratings.
Yeah, that's probably why they cut it.
But I thought it was really cool that we did a show together and you got on stage, and it just really impressed me. And my wife and our friends that were with us were like, you know, we don't see this very much. I've seen some stuff live in my time of concert going. Like, I've seen Wu-Tang Clan, I've seen Rage, I've seen Arrested Development. Trying to think of all the rap, hip-hop bands I've seen. Not that many.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But like, I saw Wu-Tang Clan.
I'm trying to think.
With Old Dirty Bastard.
Man, I have actually... Man, no, the only rap concert I've been to was to watch Mac Miller perform.
Hmm. What else have you seen live that may have inspired you, or just the fact that you had a ticket and went?
I haven't seen too many live shows.
So you're just really kind of a DIY all around.
Yeah, I'm
you're not getting a lot of major outside influence from visual or taking it in as a spectator.
Right.
That's really cool.
I mean, I'm sure I'll definitely watch stuff if it's presented to
me. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, the first 30 seconds of something, you'll either be like, this is cool, I'll check
or
it
not,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. This sucks.
So I'm open, but yeah.
Well, I think what you're doing is good, and I can say that because I saw it. I witnessed it live and in person, and it's totally different. You know, now, if I had a great sound system in my house, which I don't, which is pathetic because I'm a musician for 30 years and I have a little boombox radio.
Can I invest in
something? I mean, it's literally, I have terrible equipment. But if I had the right system, I would listen to more things of that nature, I think. But for what I listen to,
end,
a shitty boombox does it.
You need that.
Yeah, you need the bass. You need the sub stuff. Like
sub-overs,
people, yeah, the cars that have the rattling trunks around town.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Those are the kinds of things that I would think that
you
music
have to have that to
fits.
Really
it to
blast
be on
it.
There.
Okay.
Because when you're in the studio creating it, that's the point. You have those moments where the bass drops heavy and thick, and I don't have that the means to make that reality come true.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But I witnessed it live. That's what I'm getting at, is I saw that live. And so on your song performances live, you're getting that sound, because a sound system in a club has subwoofers and has the right equipment for a PA system to physically handle that. And so it was really jarring to sit there and witness that live. And you put on a great show. I mean, you didn't just stand there and look down at the ground and stare. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen that a lot. You were very upfront and interactive.
Try to make a connection.
Yeah. It was good. It was really good.
Thanks.
I was very impressed. My wife was very impressed, and she's really not knowledgeable of that music. You know,
it's always good to get a clean
seen a
slate.
Lot of that live.
A good clean slate to... See how people react.
We were all impressed, dude. We really were.
I'm trying to get a full band together. I have
that must be
hard.
I
have a few pieces. It is. I have a few pieces, but
see, I've
to bring
seen
everybody
twang
together
and round live. I know hip hop speaking. Like, I don't really know how they're categorized or whatever.
I think that is classified as hip hop.
Hip hop.
Yeah.
So they
country
coined
rap,
that.
Yeah.
But they had a band. They had a drummer.
That's cool.
And a guitar player, and then a DJ. Thing, and they may have had a bass player, but I don't think so. But I've witnessed them live. So it was, again, it was that same kind of thing of like, they really have an understanding about merging the two worlds together and still being able to have the freedom of what they do.
Right.
And I thought they did it very well.
That's cool.
Yeah. I have a lot of respect for those guys.
Yeah, me too. I haven't listened to too much of their music, but as far as like business wise, they have the numbers and they're pushing it out there. They have fans for
They're super nice. I run into them every now and then, and they know me and I know them, and I mean, we just have nothing in common, you know. It's like
Brad's
our music
funny.
Is about as parallel as it gets, you know, and there's just nothing in common whatsoever.
Little Round, you know him? Yeah, he's the funny one. He's funny.
Oh yeah, yeah. I talk to Twang a lot.
Okay.
Because like we actually know each other, I run into him all the time.
That's cool.
But they're good. I have a lot of respect for them. It is not my cup of tea as an artist. I can't do that, and that's why I have a lot of respect for people that do music that I don't do, because I can't do what you do. But I love watching it, and I do get inspired. As a songwriter and a musician, it's like the way you can get inspired by hearing things. Like you might hear something in just the verse, and it's like, oh, that's really cool. I like the way they put that together. And I noticed the big thing about hip-hop is beats. That's a big thing in that world, is creating beats. And I always chuckle at that because I'm a drummer, and I'm like, fucking creating beats. I can sit around and just noodle. And to me, that's creating beats. But you all actually create beats with the intent of putting words to them with purpose. You have spaces and chokes and drops, and you arrange it as if it is an orchestra. But it's just beats with like sound effects
samples
around it.
Yeah.
Again, it's a world I'm not familiar with, but as a drummer, I kind of understand it from an outsider looking in.
Right.
So do you do anything of that nature, or like you were talking about the two people you collaborate with, is that what you rely on through them?
Yeah, I would say those two provide a nice diversity for me to rap over.
But like you said, you got that keyboard in the early days of starting this. What did that teach you?
That taught me the basics. Scales and chord progressions, yeah.
Right. But did it have, like, the stuff on there you could punch buttons and
I was
come
just reading from
beats?
A book.
Really?
Oh yeah, I could record in there.
I was going to say,
I made a few beats.
Most keyboards, especially...
It had five song bank. You can have enough room for five songs on there.
Okay. So you even created your own stuff in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Beats.
I still
and
have some
musical.
Beats that are still on there, yeah.
There you go.
From a, made a long time ago. I won't record them or put anything on there.
I've seen some
record
cool
over them.
Shit.
Yeah.
Like, I know guys that do this, and they have studios and access to stuff, and it's fascinating to me. But growing up, I had the Casio keyboard with
Bossa
Nova. And
Casio
it was just,
CTK.
Wow. I was like, I was impressed if people could come up with stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It had like a 16 track mixer in there.
That's great.
So I could record like 16 layers of
sound.
That's
a hell of a start. That's a cool man. I'm really impressed with your story.
Thanks.
Which again, it's filled with the ups and downs of life. But you've not only learned lessons the hard way and gone through a lot of things as a young man, but it seems to have made you an incredible guy to be almost 30 years old.
Thanks.
But the power of music.
Yeah, it's life changing.
Yeah.
And believing in yourself.
And you're a great example, in my opinion, for people to look at. Once they hear this and learn more about you, I think they'll look at your music different. Because I always, you know, people judge books by the cover. We all do it. But I think this might help a lot of people look at you in a different light. At least I hope so.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the point of it.
Man, that'd be awesome.
Well, yeah. Have I bored you to tears yet?
Nah.
All right, great.
This is pretty cool. I don't talk much, so this is like the most I've talked in a long time.
Well,
since the last podcast.
I'm sorry. locally, on a music note, I like to ask this question. Who are you a fan of?
Locally?
Yes. And
man,
do you happen to go out
so
and catch
many...
anybody, or do you just see stuff online?
I would say, so I help at the studio at NF Records a lot.
Okay.
And
Is that used to engineer here in Bowling
there?
Green?
Yeah. So like, man, I know all the artists around here.
Okay.
And there's so
well, like who?
Yeah, there's so much talent. Let's start out. I'm going to give you a list of people here.
Because there's a lot of things I think you're going to say in this realm of music locally on a Bowling Green note that many of us don't know about.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's very, very underground, and it seems to be very well protected. And again, like you mentioned earlier, there's not a lot of outlets for you guys to go to.
Yeah. A lot of people have been going to Nashville or Louisville.
Right, and that's been going on for years. But I've seen a lot of hip-hop performances or bands or artists seem to perform at the A-Frame more than anywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I think they've built up their stage pretty good. So
yeah.
They like
well,
that.
Again, it's like the diversity aspect of it. You mm-hmm. know. It's like an art house. That's how I've always looked at it.
Some artists around here, I live with a few of them in the same building. It's Trap Steve and G from the O and Coach Cam. Coach Cam's the producer. Those two are artists.
Coach Cam sounds like a volleyball coach too.
Football.
sorry, see. Coach Cam. I'll do 20 laps.
Man. Waco Bell, of course. They're the
great band. Again, that's one that I just never seem to bring up very much. I've talked to Lee. Lee doesn't work here anymore, but he used to work here.
Shout out to Lee.
And I kept begging him. I was like, do one of these episodes. You know?
He's like, no.
And he wouldn't do it.
He was too cool for it.
And now he's gone. Waco Bell is a very good band on local level that is hip-hop and very diverse. They've got bass guitar, the freestyle vocal type thing, and the
live performance
aspect
of it.
It's
Scott is
such
amazing.
A great band.
Yeah, Scott's
awesome. Seen him like 5 times live.
Have you heard of Mills Turner?
Yes.
Man, that kid is going to blow up. He's awesome.
Yep.
He stopped by my house the other day before he headed back out to Cali, and he's been working on his album.
Mills Turner had one of the biggest crowds I've ever seen at Tidballs before.
Yep.
And I was just like,
who is this kid?
Well, it's like I'd heard the name, but I didn't realize until I saw him live how amazing they are. But they He's have, awesome. Again, it's like there's this underground secret taken care of, like, you know, well protected thing about certain bands and artists.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's one of them. Mills Turner could easily be the next big thing.
Yeah, I think he will be. Give it a year. Like, man, he's already out there working with some labels.
I would think so.
People.
Because what I witnessed at Tidballs not that long ago, well, they performed inside and then they performed an outside show not that long from where we're talking. And it's mesmerizing. And his band is amazing.
Man, they are, because he met them all at MTSU, so they're all, like, we're music students.
Okay, that explains a lot.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. Grant, Danny, and Skylar, that's his band.
But is it just his name? There's
Mills Turner and the Local Grocery.
Okay, see, I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that. I'm sorry.
But Mills, yeah, he does a lot of solo stuff, but on the bigger things, he tries to bring his band in.
A phenomenal band, and musically it's extremely diverse, but yet it all fits together and makes perfect sense when you see it.
Yeah.
But like the guitarist can be playing these just killer riffs, and then all of a sudden he busts into this like jazz shit.
Yep.
And I mean,
love it.
The level of just like that should be at Juilliard or something.
Yeah.
You know, amazing band, just blew me away.
Yeah, not even exaggerating there.
No, not at all. So you know them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have any
of these artists you've mentioned, like, do you all team up and do stuff? Or
yeah.
You just literally haven't done that much around here?
Well, we have, but a lot of it's just unreleased or, yeah, just hanging on to it.
Okay.
For the most part.
Don't hang on it for too long, because then it will be like,
I have a song
man, this sounds like 5 years ago.
I have a song with Mills. Working on a video right now.
That's cool.
With the other guys I said as well, too, Trap Steve and G. I got some songs with them that'll be coming out.
Is it a different world for you guys? Because I think the rock bands, like, we're just that mentality of it goes on the radio, and you play live shows. You guys seem to be more in tune with the world of now, like the online stuff, the videos, like every song you put out has a video.
Try to.
And then instead of putting out hard copy CDs and things of that nature, you guys just put it out there to where it's downloadable because you're instantly in tune with that audience. Is that's what they do. They just scroll, find something they like, download it, and boom, there it is.
Yeah, a lot of people do like physical copies, but that's like nostalgia
right
now.
Exactly.
Mostly just streaming cards.
So us old people want the CD.
Yeah.
When are you going to put it out the VHS for me to see all your videos? I need the home video.
That's funny. Oh, man. Yeah, Travis Scott just dropped a VHS, so that's not unrealistic. He did it for nostalgia purposes.
That's true. I mean, I've noticed cassettes have made a big comeback. But I guess that's not a big thing in that world.
Man, there's a whole trap underground here, too. There's
trap
a lot.
Trap underground.
Yeah, like a trap artist, trap music. Oh. It's a big, big market. There's
you're
like
talking
100
new,
artists. Yeah.
New turf to me. Yeah. The last thing I heard that was new and big was like emo. And
emo rock or something.
Yeah, there was emo. What was that thing where everybody dressed in big pants with green hair and danced?
Did Green Day spark that?
What is that?
I don't know what
don't
that is.
It. I'm so old.
I don't know what that is either.
I'm
I must
old,
have missed
but
that.
I'm still hip and cool. I think. Well, I think I've bored you to death.
No.
I've done a really good job of that. Have I ruined your career by
no,
talking
I don't think
to you?
So.
Okay, I'm trying.
It's not started yet, so we're good.
That's a good point. Actually, it has
we're
started.
The beginning stages.
You still have a long way to go. But I hope nobody pulls this out and goes, this is terrible. Learn nothing.
What the fuck is this?
Exactly. But I've enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, me too, man.
I hope it's
been awesome.
Been
it was nice
fun
to meet
for you.
You
and I hope this interview helps you with your future endeavors of your music.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Last final words. Hey, we said it before. But hey, just believe in yourself, people.
Yeah, exactly. But Leo the Rapper, everybody can find you. Have a leotherapper.com. You are available on Spotify. I'm assuming you're on like Apple Music and
yep.
Basically just Google
yeah.
Google your name and you should be able to find you on any of the typical outlets where music can be found. That aside from what, SoundCloud? You're not on SoundCloud.
Nope, not on
which
SoundCloud
a lot of people
yet.
Probably aren't on SoundCloud anymore. It's like MySpace. Everything has like a 5-year lifespan. So SoundCloud is now the MySpace of music. Which to that, I heard it was Reverb Nation, which I'm still on. And you can download all my stuff for free. All the Captain Dean albums are on Reverb Nation.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. You Googled Leo the Rapper, and your videos just immediately pop up. That's good.
Yeah,
that
that's
means
good.
You're not there's
so
not
before,
another
that's why
one
I switched
there.
From DaVinci.
Exactly. But see, I screwed up earlier. I didn't ask that question.
It's all right.
Why did you change from Da Vinci, which sounds like Da Vinci?
Yep.
Why did
so
that? And what spawned it?
90% of the time over the, I think, like year or two that I had that name.
Right.
It was every time I said, my name is The Vinci, I'd even slow it down like that. It's like The Vinci. And they're like, oh, Da Vinci.
Yeah, because they don't pay attention.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, so you really have to, like, dumb it down. So I just went with Leo the Rapper. That's why I used
it. Dumb it down for the dumb people. No, that makes sense. And see, we had talked a while back about doing a sound atlas. You were still going by that name.
Mm-hmm.
So aren't you glad
that
we didn't tape that episode?
For sure.
Exactly. Because you're a time traveler and you knew it. You went in the future and said, I got to hold off on doing my sound atlas interview.
Cat's out of the bag. I'm a time traveler.
Yeah, I like it. I'm very excited. I'm going to end this interview so we can talk deep into the future of the world.
I'm about to tell you everything that's going to happen.
Great. Yeah, exactly. Before we do actually wrap this up, is there anything I missed? Is there anything you came in here wanting to talk about, wanting to promote, or just simply talk about in music and locally speaking?
I think it went pretty well. Yeah, just check out the... Just watch out for the Three's Company music video.
Exactly. Which, that will be released by the time this episode airs. Obviously, anyone listening to this, just Google Leo the Rapper and you will find you and all of your music videos, including the brand new hit single, Three's Company, Mr. Roper not included. You're going to have to watch the show now. Right. You realize that, right?
Yep.
Because I'm sitting here throwing all these things out and you're like, I don't know what he's talking about.
I'll watch it. I got to get hooked.
It's good shit. It was Don Knotts' big comeback after the Andy Griffith Show. Things you learn.
Hey, you should watch the Andy Griffith Show when I was little.
Well, yeah, but they were reruns.
Yeah, true.
Like, Three's Company was a big deal. And your Three's Company is going to be a big deal, too.
Yeah, it will.
Because the next generation won't know anything about Jack and Mr. Roper. And they're just going to see your song, and that's it.
Pretty much. People think that Post Malone put Ozzy Osbourne on the map.
Yeah, I don't get that. I see memes about that, and I don't understand it because I'm old and I don't pay attention. Will you please elaborate on the Post Malone and Ozzy Osbourne thing?
He featured him in a song. And so people who listen to Post Malone...
What did he feature in the song?
Oh, no, I can't... And so people who listen to Post Malone have never heard Ozzy, and they was like, man, who is this guy?
So you're fucking
like,
kidding.
Yeah, they was like Post Malone.
Like, people in this world don't know who Ozzy Osbourne is.
Yeah, this is literally what they said. They said, man, thank God Post Malone is finding these underground artists.
From 1968. Not really, because Jack and Ozzy had a show on the History Channel like a
That's
year ago.
The History ago. Channel, though.
No, not the Osbournes. This is recent. This is like a year ago. How do you fucking not know who Ozzy Osbourne is?
Just bite your head off.
Iron Man and Paranoid, and then the later years with Crazy Train. I mean, I hear Crazy Train 3 times a fucking day on the radio.
People ain't listening to that, man. The radio
bullshit.
Is dead.
That's
radio
bullshit.
Is dead.
I call bullshit.
Radio
on this.
Is dead.
Radio is not dead.
No.
That's true. Ozzy has his own station on Sirius XM.
Oh, okay.
So in between Metallica and Slayer and Megadeth, you'll go, you're listening to Ozzy's Bowyer on Ozzy's radio. And then everybody goes, that's that fucking guy that Post Malone talks about. He's got his own fucking heavy metal station. This interview's gone to shit. I'm so sorry, Leo the Rapper. I hope you've enjoyed your time here at Mellow Matt's Music and More, where the staff is cooler than the stuff. That's right. That's right.
But the stuff is really cool, so that means the staff
it
is
smells
really
like,
cool.
It smells like wild berry incense. Exactly. Come
this
by
is
here.
His last podcast
there
here. They're not
is
letting
a,
him return.
Here,
they're kicking him out right now. We've got to go.
I'm going to try something. There is a Ramones banner hanging up on the wall. And I want somebody listening to this to buy that for me.
If it's gone.
My birthday's coming up. This episode will air before my birthday. So I'm going to make this loud and clear. My birthday's coming up. And there's a Ramones banner hanging on the wall at Mellow Matt's Music and More. And I'm not going to buy it because one of you listeners will buy it for me. The end. And Matt just made money to pay you for being here on a Friday night.
I work on credit. I can't afford my record hat.
Well, I get that.
Shout out to Mellow Mats.
It's why you get a job here, is because you can do amazing shit. And basically, you don't have to buy records. You just come to work and listen to whatever you want.
It's fun, man.
Check out the music videos by Leo the Shooter, too.
Yeah, damn it. I've really fucked up a lot. Leo the Shooter is the other name that you talk about.
The Simpsons?
Yeah. There's an episode of The Simpsons where Leo the Shooter is probably in it. But you also go by Leo the Shooter for your, what, photography and video?
Yeah, when I'm directing music videos and shooting them.
That's really cool. Do you have that up and available for people to find and hire you? To
yeah,
pay
just,
you lots of money to do this stuff?
Search Leo the Shooter.
Or do
Shooter.
They say, hey man, will you make a video for my band
it's
and you'll get promotion?
Yes, oh my God.
You'll
yes.
get publicity?
Yes. Left on red. I get that a lot.
But I've just watched one of your videos. I've seen other stuff online of you not only performing, but just I see things because I follow you on Instagram and Facebook. Is it Instagram? Are you on Instagram?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I am Leo the rapper and Leo the shooter.
That's amazing. You live in triple life.
Yep.
How do you do it?
It's hard.
Time traveler. You're a shapeshifter.
Shifting time traveler.
That's a lot. So anybody can look you up individually, or just basically look you up in general and ask you about one or the other.
Yeah,
correct?
One or the other. Okay. Yeah, I try to keep them separated.
But your videos are made and directed by you.
Yep.
Now you have help from friends, like holding cameras and doing things, but you also do a lot of hands-on work, obviously.
For sure.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. You're like a triple threat here. Hey, do it all.
Maybe some major labels to see this soon.
Do major labels still exist?
Yeah,
I don't know if they
do, but more in a partnership sense.
It
you're gonna come with.
They're
power.
All owned by Pepsi and
Frito-Lay,
the Disney Corporation.
Very true.
It is kind of true, but I know there's some good labels out there, especially the underground ones. They're still out there.
Yeah, for sure.
They're broke, but they're out there.
Internet's changed everything.
Yes, it has. So maybe you should be the first internet record label and find a way to make money off of that.
There's a few people
there,
doing that.
You can have that for free.
There's a few people 10% doing that.
Oh, whatever. No, they're not.
Yeah.
They probably saw it on The Simpsons in 1997.
Right. They knew. They heard
they
this
knew
podcast.
They knew it was going to happen, yeah.
Went back and did it.
I'm so sorry. I'm just. I think we've had a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
We're just shooting the shit, right?
Well, it was good talking to you. Is this it?
I think we're done.
All right.
I don't know what else to talk about.
What do you got? You got a topic for us?
Do you want to throw something in and wrap this up? Oh, the phone. Saved by the bell. The phone rings and he can't participate. Leo, thank you so much.
No problem. This has been awesome.
I hope so.
LeoTheRapper.com.
Yes. And if you ever see this man's name on a flyer or a billboard, go see him live. I can say that because I witnessed it myself and it was amazing.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for being an artist from an area that's not known for what you do, and you're carrying a torch, and you might inspire many people after this to look at you as an inspiration. So you should be very proud of what you've done.
Thanks.
And after learning a lot about your past and your story, I can personally say I'm proud of you, because I've seen a lot of people fall and I've lost a lot of friends. So good for you.
Thank you.
And on a good note. Good night, good luck, and we'll see you later.
Believe in yourself.
Exactly. I do. No, really. Bye.